You saw on the news yesterday, they're all loaded up on the trucks and the vaccines are headed out. But what's the difference between all the different ones? It's Anna and Raven. Dr. Bettina Fries is the chief of the Division of Infectious Diseases at Stony Brook Medicine.
Dr. Fries, how many different vaccines are there?
So there are actually three different groups of vaccines. One are the RNA vaccines, and Moderna and Pfizer are both RNA vaccines. Then there are adenovirus-based vaccines. And then there's the last group. Those are the protein subunit vaccines. The difference between the Moderna and the Pfizer vaccine is they are both RNA vaccines. So these vaccines is a novel kind of vaccine. We have not had these kind of vaccines licensed in the past, but we have been doing research with this kind of vaccines for almost 20 years. And they basically deliver the message that harbors the information to make the spike protein, which is the most important protein of the virus, because it allows the virus to get into the cells.
For my sake, for a layman's sake, is this effectively like a bioblocker almost?
No. Every time we are infected with a virus, any virus, our immune system usually makes an antibody response against a specific surface protein of the virus. Viruses are very primitive organisms. They don't have that many proteins. And so usually the ones that our immune system target are the proteins that are very important for the virus. And those are usually proteins that allow the virus to get into our cell.
So I've heard that some of these vaccines require two shots while some do not. Is that right?
So of the six vaccines that are being evaluated, five require two shots and one requires one shot.
Doctor, you mentioned that this is the first RNA type of vaccine to be approved. Is that correct? So why is it that they have not approved an RNA type vaccine before?
Because the technology has been developed over the last 20 years. We have a limited amount of vaccines. I don't know, there's maybe 20 vaccines licensed in the United States. So when you make a vaccine, you will always compete against already something that's already existing. So that may be part of the reason. And the other reason is that making vaccines is not a very profitable market.
So all these vaccines ultimately are doing the exact same thing. So it doesn't matter which one you get as long as you get one of them, correct?
Yes. The idea behind all these vaccines is to generate an immune response that recognizes this spike protein. So all six vaccines do that.
When you get the second shot for the ones that have two or for the Johnson & Johnson one that has one, do you automatically become immune?
No. So Pfizer presented their data at the FDA, and they basically started measuring efficacy of the vaccine 7 days after the second shot. And it was highly, highly efficacious, like 95%.
I know that we're getting like frontline workers and elderly. They're going to be priority. But when do you think the average person will be able to get one?
We have like a tier. How are we going to roll it out? Healthcare workers and patients that live in long-term care facilities. Then sort of the second tier is going to be people that have a lot of exposure to people, like people working in supermarkets, policemen, firemen, bus drivers, teachers, those kind of people. And then, of course, people with comorbidities. So the hope is that we will be able in 2021 to vaccinate the majority of people. And hopefully, once spring comes, that we will be able to roll out this vaccine for the general public as well.
Dr. Bettina Fries, Chief of the Division of Infectious Diseases at Stony Brook Medicine. Thank you.
That's all I need to know about 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 you.
It's time for Kaylee to
If you pay a UFC ring announcer $299 to make a breakup cameo video to break up with your girlfriend, that is all I need to know about you.
I mean, the buffer that family is famous for. These are the biggest announcements of our time there, but it is a little bit cold.
Tana and Raven, all you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. You can always call or text 1-800-330-9999. This video is going viral. If you're not familiar with Cameo, Raven and I have used it several times. It's a website that you pay celebrities, mm-hmm. kind of like C and D list celebrities,
The most part. I mean, there's a lot of people on there now at this point. Maybe there might be a couple B list, but yeah, it's random. It's crazy. And then they figure out what amount they want to charge you to leave, like, phone messages.
Well, not phone messages, video messages.
Right, right.
So
that's it.
Yeah, they're video messages. So this guy paid this UFC ring announcer, I guess, who's some of
that's Michael
big deal.
Buffer.
Yeah, whoever.
Yeah.
200. I don't know.
Every boxing match ever that you've ever seen, he's probably there.
Well, his going rate is $299, and he pays.
It's
that
a bargain,
guy.
Actually.
You think that's a bargain
for Buffer? Yeah.
But if you're that girlfriend and you get that,
yeah,
aren't you immediately confused? Because you're like, did you just break up with me with a cameo of some random dude standing in a ring?
Yeah. Well, I mean, on the other hand, she gets a piece of it too. Now they go viral together, right? And she's on living her best life after that. She's gonna have her fans out of this thing.
I have so many questions.
What's the worst way you ever broke up with somebody?
The way I broke up, or the way I was broken up with?
The worst way, either or.
Well, I never, I mean, I only had a couple breakups in my life, and I mean, I was basically like, hey, I don't want to be with you anymore. But I had one guy break up with me. He showed up to my cheerleading practice session, right?
Yeah.
And he showed up, and he said, I need to talk to you. And I was captain. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm in the middle of practice.
Right, I'm busy here.
Yeah. And he was like, no, I have to get something off my chest. I have to tell you. So he literally walked me to the end of the bleachers, told me that he had kissed another girl and that we were going to break up.
Yes.
And I remember being like,
tears in the eyes.
Yeah, I had like tears in my eyes. I'm like, now I have to go back to practice?
That's right. Now you have to be a charge. Right.
Yeah.
Carry on here. Get up on that triangle.
Right.
Let's get that pyramid going. Concentrate, girls.
I was like, you couldn't wait an hour for practice to be over to tell me this?
Sorry to laugh at you, but now as a grown-up.
Or now as an adult.
You can handle it now, but.
All right, Ben. Hope you've moved on with your life.
You know what, Ben? All right. You remember Ben's address? We'll handle that. Me and you.
Well, I'm friends with him on Facebook, so I check in every
now it's cool now?
It's fine.
Now it's cool now.
We are in high school. It's okay. That's all I need to know about you, though. You break up with somebody over a cameo.
Like you said, I mean, she may not even be aware that they're broken up at this point. Right. If you don't have the enunciation done, Buffer can be a little bit difficult. But once you learn the cadence, I think that the message is pretty clear.
How did you break up with somebody?
I think probably the worst way I've ever broke up with somebody is like, you know, back in grade school, it was notes, which was the modern version of the text. Right.
Yeah.
So that, you know, the worst way I ever got broke up on, though, was she had her girlfriend call me and she was on total phone. And of course, it was like first girlfriend, so same thing. I wasn't leading the cheerleading class, but I was leading the tears.
That's so sad.
A river of Raven's tears.
Santa needs your help. He needs to know who belongs on the nice list and who belongs on the naughty list. And that's why there's the Santa tip line. You can call 24 hours a day, 833-431-0905, and give Santa the heads up. Let's check the voicemail.
Oh, there sure are a lot of kids on the naughty list this year. Let's see who called into Santa today.
Hi, Santa. My teacher has been misbehaving. She has been yelling at Sophia. I really like you, so you're my best hero in the world. You're the best. We'll give you a lot of cookies when you come. Okay, bye.
Everything about her I love, except for the fact that she called the Anna and Raven Santa tip line to rat out her teacher.
Well, you know,
that's
not nice. Maybe that teacher's misbehaving. Maybe that teacher's not being nice. She certainly seemed very nice, which leads me to think that she's also a little bit manipulative.
Yeah, but you hear what she said?
We'll give you more cookies than anywhere. We're going to give you so many.
Santa, you're my best friend.
Right.
My best friend in the whole world, Santa.
I'm guessing there's two sides to the story with the teacher.
Uh-huh.
Right. Message received yesterday.
My sister, Lily, she should be put on the naughty list because we're telling her not to do her math homework in pen. But guess what? She's doing it in pen. All right. Thank you, Santa. Bring me some good gifts.
Narc. Come on, man. Come on. But I like the spirit there, too, you know?
Guess what she's doing? She's doing it in pen.
Yeah. People hate it when they do it in pen.
I mean, but math, you can't do math in pen. Everybody knows that. You make mistakes.
I mean, if you're going to be good, if you're good enough to do it in pen, then you're good enough to do it in pen.
But I don't know.
Does that bother? I mean, he's not the teacher. He doesn't have to correct it, so what does he care?
I think that you should start taking notes in pencil because you always scribble everything out in pen, too, and then everything looks like a mess.
Here's the thing. When you're done with the piece of paper, it all ends up the same place.
Mm.
So what's the difference?
I mean, she shouldn't be using pen.
Well, if you say so.
Hi, Santa Claus. It's me, Angel. We've been good this year. But I think Miss Theodore has been really bad. She's been taking my chapsticks away because I was using it. I need it. Bye. And a guy, Cameron, on my bus, he's been bad too. He swears. And so is Caitlin. She always annoys me. So, yeah, bye.
Why is there a grown man on the bus swearing?
Why did you assume it was a grown man?
I don't know.
His name is Cameron, and that's a grown person's name?
Sound like a guy. He said a guy.
They got on a roll. They started like with just one. They're like, you know what? While I'm here,
right,
let me list 13 other people that have been giving me a hard time.
These are all bad people.
The Santa tip line is open. He wants to know who's been naughty and who's been nice. You can call it at 833-431-0905. It's Anna and Raven. Who knew installing a mailbox could be so stressful?
I got to tell you, man, there was a lot more things to it than I really thought. This weekend, my wife and I took on that project here, taking advantage of a little bit of sunshine, but I thought it was going to be the end of us.
It's Anna and Raven. What happened?
So, I mean, it's more than just digging a hole, right? So, to be fair, we have the world's worst mailbox on the street. I'm not somebody that normally needs to care about, you know, keeping up with the Joneses or the neighbors or whatever. But if you drove down the road, ours was the saddest mailbox that was in the area. So, we decided that we had to take on this project. We go out, we get the new pole, we pick out a pretty new mailbox. We're going to be adults now, Anna Zapp.
Okay.
But here's the thing. Pole weighs a lot. Hole has to be dug. Pole has to go into said hole, a third of the pole. Then it has to be leveled off. It can only be so many inches from the street. And oh yeah, we forgot to call anything before you dig. And of course, as soon as we start digging the hole, it's a wire right in my face.
So I didn't know that there's actually rules and regulations that go hand in hand with putting up a mailbox. I just thought like, okay, you pick where the mailbox goes and, you know, put the mail in it.
Right. It would seem to be, right? I mean, it's just a box. They throw things in there. If the guy can reach it from the truck, it would be fine. I told my wife she could be foreman. There was like a diagram, all sorts of geometry going on. And to be fair, my wife isn't the strongest at math. So when she would give me the different parameters that we had to work within, I'd figure it out. And then she'd be like, no, that's not right. It doesn't look right. And of course, that's tough when you're working with concrete.
So what happened?
We get the hole dug. We get the pole in there, pass the wire, by the way. Nobody worry about that. I'm sure it's just not electricity or not that much dangerous.
You actually have no idea, do you?
Yeah, I have no idea whatsoever. Right. But it's in the hole now at this point.
Okay.
We get in there. We level it off. You know, there's debates over is the bubble in the center? Is it not in the center? Is this thing so many inches from the truck? The mailman pulls up in the middle of the process, tells us he doesn't really care, but he knows there's some rules, but he's not aware of them either.
How is that possible? Isn't that his job to know since he's the mailman?
Bigger than that, I'm wondering to myself is, if we don't do this right, what are really the consequences of this, right?
Do they stop mailing your stuff? Like, do they just rip it up or throw it in the garbage? Or
right, what happens?
You don't get mail anymore?
Do they come over? Do they run it over with their little truck or whatever? I mean, again, I go to ask this guy. He's my regular guy. So I figure as long as I put a little money in his Christmas card, he's going to be fine. He doesn't care.
That doesn't seem very nice. I feel like you should respect whatever the post service wants you to do.
Well, what I'm worried about is the fill-in guy. So what if the fill-in guy is one of these rules following sticklers or whatever?
Yeah.
It says I don't have to deliver it there because it's 1.3 centimeters off the curb in the wrong spot. And that's how tight it really was.
Do people, the mailmen, do they carry rulers? Do they do that? Do they just check every few minutes? They're like, let me see how far this is from the curb.
Let me give you the tool list I had out front. Ruler, yardstick, tape measure, two levels, drill. It was nuts. And I still don't know if we're right.
Well, we're going to find out. Amy Gibbs is the communications director of the United States Postal Service. What actually are the rules when it comes to putting up a new mailbox? We'll find out next with Anna and Raven. Who knew there were so many rules and regulations about installing a new mailbox? It's Anna and Raven. Amy Gibbs is the communications director of the United States Postal Service. Raven just put up a mailbox, and he was freaking out because they said there's a lot of rules. Are there actual rules to when you put up your mailbox, like where you're supposed to do it when it comes to the United States Postal Service?
Absolutely. We do have national standards, although we do ask customers to go to their local post office and speak to their postmaster and make sure that, you know, everything works for them. But in general, we ask people to position the mailbox 41 inches to 45 inches from the road surface to the bottom of the mailbox and place your mailbox 6 to 8 inches back from the curb. Now, obviously, it depends on what kind of residence you live in. You know, some people have door slots, some people have the wooden post, and it really comes down to, you know, what's the best thing for your letter carrier and how can you adhere to the postal regulations?
Amy, let me tell you, when you're putting together a project with your spouse, the best way to do it is involve concrete, a tape measure, and then different rules. What's the carrier think? What's the regional guy think? What's the nation think? I mean, then the pole's got to be a third of the way into the ground because of frost areas.
42 inches.
Oh, man. It was so crazy and tense, and I had no idea. And I thought to myself, who knows what's the perfect size for our driver? Like, I don't know how long his arms are or how tall this guy is or how he sits in his seat. For all I know, he's got his wallet on that side of his butt, and he sits awkwardly.
You got to get a level.
I mean,
you got to pretend you're putting together IKEA furniture. Get your tape measure. You can always visit USPS.com. We have a whole section called How to Install a Mailbox. It's on USPS.com under Manage Mailboxes. All of the information is available, and our local postmaster is going to have a really local view on what's best for the community.
Let me ask you, Amy, because looking down my street, I mean, I know that we followed the rules. We went through it. We even talked with our driver when he came by because we were still in the middle of it. Bickering what was going on, but everybody else seemed to be on some different wavelength. There was very few that actually seemed to be within regulation. Does the postmaster come around and knock on somebody's door and give them a slap every once in a while if they don't do these regulations? Are they enforceable with some sort of non-delivery or tickets or whatever? Because, I mean, the way my wife made it sound like it was very tense.
Right. So the thing is safety, 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 safety. Safety comes first before anything else. We want to protect our carriers. We want to protect our customers. So that's why we have these rules and regulations. That may seem like we're being mean, but we're actually just being safe. And it's part of our efficiency, too. If everything is standardized, then maybe the letter carrier doesn't have to get out of the vehicle to put the letters in the mailbox. You know, if you have to do that 500 times a day, it's going to delay the mail. We have a reason to do this. So we would just really encourage customers to be mindful and safe.
Wait, so when I bought my house about 3 years ago, and we have one of the wall-mounted ones right outside our door. It's like on the actual house. Is that a...
Yep.
Pain in the butt? Like, why do I have that? Well, I never even thought about it.
Well, you might have the option of putting it at the end of the driveway. I don't know what your residence is like. It depends on how far it recedes from the street, the length of your driveway. There's a lot of little things that may seem like nitpicky things that we put out there, but it's really for the efficiency and the safety of everybody.
I never thought about it, but my poor postman, like you bring it up.
Oh, they're working.
He has to get out of the truck.
Right.
He has
Absolutely.
To go down my driveway. He has to go up the stairs.
Up the stairs.
To put it all right in there. And it's not like I did it on purpose. It's just how it is. I'm going to fix that.
How do you think those toned legs come out, though, in the summer with those
shorts?
I mean, those shorts
do
look
nice.
Right. Yeah. I would leave a bottle of water out there for him, maybe.
Right.
Amy, thank you so much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
Doing the right thing can be really hard.
I'm a good person. Yes, it's true. I'm a good person, better than you.
That's why it's time for Credit Due.
I'm a good person.
Anna and Raven.
Happens all the time. The weekend goes by, you go above and beyond for the people in your life, or maybe even a stranger, and you don't get any acknowledgement. No one says thank you, nothing.
Yeah, it's true. And sometimes that effort comes with a lot of repercussions that go throughout your weekend, too, Anna Zapp.
Yeah, here's your opportunity to share that, and we'll give you the credit you have due. 1-800-330-9999. You can always call or text. It's Anna and Raven. I have to give credit today.
Okay.
So I feel that so many things happen at the grocery store. And yesterday I was at the grocery store, and I'm, checking out. And I look over my shoulder because I hear this guy, and he's saying to the cashier, just let me use your discount code. And she was really calm. She's like, I'm sorry, sir. I can't do that. Now, there was a couple things going through my mind.
Come on. First off, everybody gets to use the code.
Wait, what?
Yes. Come on.
No. Her employee discount code.
Oh, okay. No, that's wrong. No.
So there's a couple things going through my mind at this point as I'm eavesdropping on this conversation.
Sure.
One. I didn't know that cashiers at grocery stores get employee discounts.
No, I didn't know that either.
Yeah. So I thought she was going to be like, I'm sorry, sir. I don't get a discount on my groceries. But
right.
She didn't deny it. She's like, I'm sorry, sir. I can't do that. And the second thing going through my head was, that is some kind of guts for you as a stranger to ask a cashier
right.
to use their employee discount. Like, that is.
I mean, how much is the discount really anyways,
how much
right?
Is it?
I mean, it's probably a percentage of something or whatever. I mean, again, I had no idea. I thought you were just talking about like a rewards card or something like that. And somebody will always scan that for you. Typically, they have like a store number so you get the reduced price.
Not,
but this is something different.
Right. I'm like, do you get 10% off if you work at a grocery store?
I don't know.
Do you get 20%?
I guess it depends on the store. I had no idea.
But at one point, he was so persistent. I wanted to turn around and be like, Be quiet. Yeah. Leave her alone.
Move on, bro.
But she remained calm. She remained cool. And you know what? She deserves some credit for that.
All right.
I would have been like,
protect that code.
Do you want that polio string cheese? Just take it, pay for it, and get out of here,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Protect that code.
Yep.
This weekend, Anna, I put up the Christmas lights on the house. It involves going up on the second level of the house with the ladder up there. I even had to pull out my drill and drill some things now because they redid the roof and they changed some things. I had to put it on the second level. Guess what? I had to redo it like three times because even though I tested every single light on the ground and everything worked perfectly, once I got it up there in the air, three strands had to be redone. And my wife came out and she said, looks nice, honey. Thanks. Good job.
But then you got credit.
It took all day, Anna Zapp.
So
I mean, there should have been like a sandwich or something waiting for me at the end of this line. All right? I mean, maybe somebody should have came out singing Christmas carols or something like that.
Oh, I have thoughts, but fine. Let's give you some credit.
And it illuminated everything. I mean, come on. When I see your face, there's not a thing
that I would change, 'cause you're amazing. She asked you weeks ago to put up the lights.
Oh.
And you left work 3 days early last week.
I did not
to
do
tell
that.
Me you had to go put up the Christmas lights.
I swear, I don't know why you're coming up with these lies. I swear. I don't know what you're trying to do right
but
now here in the building.
You
but
keep saying, I got to go put up the lights. But it finally did.
And every day,
all right.
I left trying to do that and got caught doing something else. You're terrible.
What didn't you get credit for this weekend? 1-800-330-9999. We'll give you your credit due. It's Anna and Raven.
Doing the right thing can be really hard.
I'm a good person. Yes, it's true. I'm a good person, better than you.
That's why it's time for Credit Due.
I'm a good person.
Anna and Raven.
What didn't you get credit for over the weekend? We're going to give you the credit you have coming. You do these great things. Nobody even acknowledges it. 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
Hi. So my husband, he started this football tailgate. And he puts the TV on the deck and his friends, you know, they come out, sit outside, social distancing, things like that, and watch the games. Well, this weekend, I surprised him with a little extra on the spread, mini hot dogs and nachos, and just did the works.
Wow.
And, yeah, so I wasn't expecting his friends to say, like, thank you, but he didn't say anything at all.
Oh, yeah. Aww. I mean, come on. The friends know well enough to say thanks because they know that's what keeps the food coming. But your husband can't take that for granted.
Yeah, that stinks. You try to do something nice to surprise them, and you didn't get any thanks. Don't worry, we're going to give you your credit right now.
Thank you.
I'm bulletproof, nothing to lose. Far away, far away.
She hand-rolled every one of those mini hot dogs.
I doubt that.
She got that Philo dough. She got those little tiny wieners that you have to buy separately. She rolled them up. She put them in the oven. She brought them outside on a steaming hot plate. They didn't even acknowledge those mini hot dogs. They were like, woo, the game's on.
I mean, I doubt she made them by hand. But she did open a box, poured them out from Costco.
We don't know.
Heated them up. And that's enough for most people. That would have been great for me. It would have been appreciated.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What didn't you get credit for this weekend?
My daughter's pet fit was acting really weird. So I set up an appointment to go to the vet. She didn't even come with me. She said that there was something on Netflix she wanted to watch. She didn't even come. When I got home from the vet, I told her everything was okay, the ferret's fine. She shushed me. No, thank you.
Oh, we're going to give you that credit right now. Hold on.
That's terrible.
And more, much more than this, I did it my
I mean, the ferret appreciates it, buddy.
He did it his way by himself,
right.
Without his daughter.
Well, just him and the ferret. I mean, luckily the ferret's still alive. Everybody's going to be okay.
Everything's fine. She watched Netflix. She's good, his daughter.
If I had to bet, Dad didn't want her to get that ferret in the first place. And that's what he's telling himself while he's in the vet the entire time.
Hi, it's Ian on Raven. What didn't you get credit for this weekend?
Actually, I'm going to go ahead and say that my wife did not get enough credit for something she did, and she deserves credit.
All right. What did you not give your wife credit for?
So we just bought a new home, and I really hated the color of the dining room. And my wife worked overnight, and she stood up all day, and she painted the dining room for me. And she just deserves all the credit for that I did not give her enough credit for this weekend.
Yeah, especially based on, I mean, I don't know about you, but I hate painting. I cannot stand painting.
You know, I was so busy kind of trying to pack up things, move things along. I said thank you, but, like, it just didn't suffice.
Wasn't enough.
And it was a really, really bright blue color in the dining room. So it took a few coats.
Well,
she deserves a lot of credit for that.
We're going to give her the credit she deserves.
And you can tell everybody this is your song.
Imagine if you painted a room and the other person didn't even care.
And they had to prime it first, too.
Right?
Prime it,
oh,
it was
my
blue.
Gosh.
And it had to take multiple coats. Oh. And every time you did it, you could see that blue still coming from
coming
underneath.
Through.
And you're like, oh, my gosh, another coat. Here we go.
Oh, is there anything worse?
And then she walked by and she was like, yeah, all right.
Yeah,
looks
good. Thanks.
Looks good.
Great. Can we get the boxes in here yet?
Yeah. Did you order dinner?
Clean up the rest of this stuff. Let's go.
What's that thing that you taught your child that you're super proud that you taught them? 1-800-330-9999. You can call or text. It's Anna and Raven. This comes up because everybody's watching The Queen. The Crown, excuse me.
The Crown, you
yeah.
got it.
Yeah, everyone's watching The Crown. And finally, in this season, Princess Diana is there. And everybody's been waiting for Princess Diana. But I am like a Princess Diana royal family kind of freak. Like, I love Princess
Your eyes
Di.
Are shining right now. It's,
yeah.
It's almost unabashed. You can't hide it.
I couldn't almost remember the name of The Crown that I watch every single night.
Right, because now you believe it's called the Princess.
The Queen. Yeah, whatever.
Right.
I brought it up to my daughter because everybody's been talking about Princess Diana again. And she just rattled this off like it was nothing.
Hayden, what did Mommy teach you about Princess Diana?
You taught me that she wasn't treated well by the royal family.
And what else do you know about Princess Diana?
She had a 25-foot veil on her wedding day.
Yep. What else?
She was the people's princess. She always did great stuff for charity. The paparazzi were heartless to her.
I mean, I have...
Yeah, She's
just
wet and wet.
So I have taught her so much about Princess Diana.
Right.
To the point where one year she was Princess Diana for a school project. And we reenacted the veil. We did the whole thing. And I don't know. It's like one of those things where as a parent, you're like super proud of it. You're like, I taught her that. I taught her all about Princess Diana.
Right. The British people, the commencement, everything.
Everything.
25-foot. I mean, she just rattled that off.
Like it's nothing.
Who knows those things?
It's people that have been taught correctly by their mom. What did you teach your son?
I would say that he knows that the first trilogy of Star Wars is the only trilogy of Star Wars that matters, and that the second one was just a big money grab, but then they redeemed it and came back and gave us all what we wanted in the third trilogy.
Oh, so you just taught him about Star Wars.
No, I just taught him that he has to respect it and always talk about it with reverence when he talks about it around me. But he does know that the first trilogy is the only trilogy that matters.
Well, it's kind of very similar to me teaching Hayden about Princess Diana. It's something that you feel passionate about, so you shared that love and that knowledge with your child.
If I'm passionate, then I'm going to be smarter than the next guy, and that means he's got to know what I know.
Okay. So we asked on our Facebook page, what did you teach your kid? My dad taught me how to grow all kinds of plants, but mostly tomatoes. That's what Mary Beth said.
Okay.
That's a good one.
All right.
Diane wrote, my dad taught me how to shave my legs.
Wait a minute. What?
Yep.
Were they both swimmers?
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Joan says, I'm teaching my oldest daughter how to bake pies and how to cook traditional Puerto Rican dishes.
Nice.
That's an important one, is teaching your heritage and passing that down.
And they protect them.
Yep. Daniel wrote, how to be a self-sufficient fisher.
What?
Yeah, and how to build a fire.
Okay, well, that's a good one.
Yeah.
You know, if you're cold, mm-hmm. you're going to need that one. Like, mankind needs that one moving ahead. I feel like that's like a lost art. A lot of people in regular life, they don't know how to do that type of stuff. Camp.
It's true.
Hunt.
Yep.
You know, start something on fire.
1-800-330-9999. What's that one thing that you taught your child that you're super proud of? Again, that's 1-800-330-9999. Tiana and Raven. What did you teach your kids that you're super proud as a parent that you were able to teach them? This comes up because my daughter Hayden, you know, all of a sudden everyone's talking about The Crown because Princess Diana has finally shown up during season 4. And my daughter can rattle off facts about Princess Diana like it's nothing because I taught her that.
Yeah, for most 11-year-olds, that would be useless information. But for her, you know, she's doing well with it.
It's Anna and Raven. I love me some Princess Di. I'm proud that I taught her all about her. What did you teach your kids? 1-800-330-9999. Hey, Anna and Raven.
Hi. I taught my son how to use a sewing machine and learn how to sew. And, you know, he's 12 years old, and he really got into it because of the mask thing and everybody wearing masks. and he started making his own masks, and other kids were asking him to make theirs because they were really cool. And now he can sew better than I can, and he's making all kinds of things.
Oh, that's great.
This is a lovely story.
Yeah.
Of, like, the kid who... I'm just going to create my own backstory here for a minute. So he didn't have any friends. He had nobody convinced.
Did
he wasn't popular.
Time out. Did
Maybe
your son
he got
have
beat
friends?
Up at prom or something like that. Then he started making masks.
Just a normal
and everybody
kid.
Around him was like, you know what? Mm. This kid is awesome.
Yep.
He makes these awesome masks. I was shallow, and now I'm going to try and make this guy my best friend.
Did your son have friends before he learned how to sew masks?
Yes, he did. Yeah.
Well,
that
you know what?
Exactly his scenario.
Maybe he's got some more now. That's all I'm saying. Like, you went over the really hard kid in class because he's like, I really like flowers.
Okay.
I can't find a mask that fits my big face with flowers on it. Could you help me? And then they become fast friends.
I mean,
it's a decent book that I got going here.
All right, make notes. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What are you proud that you taught your child?
Hey, I taught my son how to play the lottery when he was 7. It's become our thing. It's our thing, man. It's our buddy moment. Every Sunday morning, we pull out our tickets, and he goes through each of them, and he circles the numbers we have.
Do you have a formula for playing, or is it all quick picks? Or do you have a formula for your numbers?
No. I mean, sometimes they're symbolic. Sometimes it's birthdays, you know, months and days. He knows how to go to the website, where to find the numbers. He checks them, and, you know, like I said, it's our buddy moment.
It's kind of really nice, except I think it's illegal, but still really nice.
That's all right. All right. It is nice. All right.
My daughter, my older daughter, her and my mom, they love to go get scratch-offs, and then my daughter scratches them in the car. But she, like, loves it. I'm like, Ma, like, I don't think you're supposed to be doing this. And she's like, oh, it's so nice. I'm like, yeah. She hit $500 the other day, my mom.
Wow.
I'm like, I wish Hayden would hit $500.
Right. How does that work?
Hey, it's Anna and Raven. What are you proud that you taught your kid?
I taught my daughter how to limbo. When I was a teenager, I used to compete and be part of these talent shows because I was really good. So we've been stretching and we've been practicing at home, and she's 3.
Wow. To 3-year-old limboer. How cute.
I didn't know that there was, like, limbo competition besides, you know, like me drinking on a beach at some resort.
Yeah, no, that's a real thing. What if they make that the next Olympic sport? They just made breakdancing a sport. What if they made limbo a sport?
We could get back in there.
I don't know. I was
couple
never
A couple pina
good.
Coladas, a couple daiquiris. Forget it.
How low can you go?
That is the question.
Yeah. Can you get, like, are you the ones that, like, it's almost like you're flat on your back?
Well, I mean, she is.
Right. Right.
Me,
now,
not so much.
Right. Not anymore.
She's like the mom, like Tiger Woods' dad, just training.
Lower!
Get lower!
Lower!
You hungry?
Right.
You want to eat tonight? As parents, sometimes we get it right. It's Anna and Raven.
Sure. Sometimes you give your kids some knowledge that sticks with them their entire lives.
Yeah, everyone's been talking about The Crown lately because Princess Diana has finally debuted. And I'm like a Princess Diana freak. And I have taught my older daughter, Hayden, everything about Princess Diana that I know. So when everyone started talking about this at school, boom, she got it. She knew how long her veil was. She knew how the paparazzi took her down. She knew everything.
Is that what they're discussing at school?
Yeah.
I would question the curriculum, maybe.
Sixth grade. It's happening. 1-800-330-9999. What did you teach your child that you're really proud of? Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
Oh, yeah. I taught them to dress however they want. And, I mean, it backfires a little bit sometimes. But for the most part, they dress for the weather.
All right. So tell us something that you remember. Like, they came out and you were like, oh, no, they should not do that. But you were like, but I put the rule in there before.
Yeah, I know. My son came out in his sister's pink tutu, and we went to the playground like that.
My daughter went through a phase where she would only wear capes. Everywhere we went, she wore capes. And I'm not even going to lie.
Yeah.
I also wanted to wear a cape.
The thing is like, you kind of envy them because they're all in on it. Like, when they make the decision to go, they don't care. So you envy that, right? I mean, I would.
I know. I absolutely envied him. I was like, I wish I had the balls.
Right.
To the playground.
And Raven, what'd you teach your kids?
Okay, my daughter's married, and I taught her one of life's greatest lessons, which is to choose your battle. So sometimes, you know, your husband's an idiot, and you could argue for days and days, and he'll never see your point. But in your head, you know you're right. You should just cook it, because it saves a lot of arguing and a lot of sex energy.
Yeah.
Well, you certainly cracked the code, man.
Yeah. Thanks
for the call.
My mom taught me that if you don't put an undershirt on the baby, even if it's 75 to 80 degrees outside, you're a terrible mother.
Right.
Poor Dakota. I swear that kid is always sweating because she's always got like 13 layers of clothes on, all because of my mom. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What did you teach your kid that you're proud of?
Well, I'm a grandma and I'm teaching my grandchildren how to do cartwheels.
Oh, that's
and
really
I'm very proud of that.
I mean, yeah. I'm proud of your
What?
When the bones are good.
All right.
Like, I'm glad that you ain't got that thing when the bones aren't good. Good for you, Grandma.
No, I'm all good.
Good for you. I can't do one right now. I'd fall apart.
Yeah, when I go over there, they show me like little half cartwheels. They're working on it.
Good job. And Ann Raven, what did you teach your kid?
Hi, how are you? Manners. Manners and cooking. These 5-year-olds.
Hi.
So from even from holding a door open to a girl or waiting on the bus till girls load first, from cooking, that's like the first thing that you can teach your kid.
Manners are key, and I tell you, in a lot of circles, sometimes you feel like it's been a lost age, right? It's a dying art, but good for you.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What did you teach your kid that you're really proud of?
To have an excellent work ethic.
Yeah, I ain't got no time for no lazy bums. You better show up and be ready to carry that plywood all day long. What do you mean you're 9 and you want to go take a break?
Anna and Raven, what did you teach your child that you're proud of?
The stank face and the stank eye.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yeah.
So you must have a powerful stank face to have now passed it on to the next generation.
Oh, for sure. We practice it all the time. My 6-year-old came home from school one day, said a boy was bullying her. She didn't know what to say or what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Gave him the stank eye and the stank face, and he left her alone.
Oh, that's my God. Well done, Mom. Well done.
At 6, the kid already knows he don't want no part of that. Right. Thanks,
yeah.
Mom.
She's like, it's 4 o'clock. Darn come on. Right. It's time to practice. Let me see your skank eye.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Eddie, I'm going to start with you. What's going on?
Hey, what's happening, yo? It's just, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a lot of trust issues going on with me and my girl. Like, we kind of been distant because we, you know, the whole pandemic and everything. So we kind of in a long distance thing right now.
Okay.
But before any of this even happened, she, like, still texting her ex. You know what I'm saying? And, like, it's just a lot of confusion, I just don't trust her. Just put it this way. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's still texting her ex and they friends and everything. You know what I mean? I don't know.
You don't want your girlfriend texting her ex.
I ain't trying to roll like that no more.
Right. I get it. I mean.
It's that. And then you put into that the COVID stuff and, like, we ain't been seeing each other. So, like, I don't know what she's doing.
Well, how do you know that she's texting him if you don't even get to see her a lot? Is she honest with you about it?
Well, yeah. I would see it when we was together. This is going back, like, the entire time we was together. So, we're talking, like, 2 years. And, like, I tell her no and she say that's her friend because she know him her whole life and all this, but it's like, when you with somebody, that's your man. Like, you don't need no other, you know what I mean? You don't need no more masculine energy in your life. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's where I come from with it.
Christina, what's going on? Why are you still texting your ex if you know it bothers him so much?
I think he's really blowing this out of proportion because I broke up with this dude when I was 14 years old.
Oh.
Like, this was a long time ago. We've been really good friends for years now. This is just so ridiculous. Our families are friends. We were friends when we were young. I haven't seen him since April because of COVID, and he's dating a new girl now anyway.
So wait a minute. Broke up with this guy when you were 14 years old. He's kind of like a family friend now, whatever. And Eddie, you're freaking out because she still texts him. Obviously, Christina, do you text him a lot? It must be enough that Eddie notices that it's bothering him so much. And now you're not seeing either of them because of COVID.
Yeah, I mean, I don't text him every day, but we text, like, you know, every couple days, once a week.
She was 14 and she's 28 now. So, like, what? Do that math. You know, that's twice as long as she's been living, she's been knowing this dude, you know?
Wow.
It's called friendship. It's friendship. You have friends that you've known since you were young?
I don't know nobody since I was 4. Like, I got a few people, but it's not like I'll be texting them on a reg.
Well, I think.
Okay, well, maybe that says something about you.
Okay, well, you know.
What does it say about you is what I'm saying. What does it say about you?
Can women and men have platonic relationships? Yes, of course. But if it's bothering your current boyfriend so much, would you continue to text somebody that you had a relationship at one point, even if it was half a lifetime ago?
Well, it seems like an easy decision for a lot of people if you're talking about somebody that you've had a relationship with over a decade versus somebody that you've been dating for maybe a couple of years. It seems like it's going to be pretty straightforward to me.
Well, let's see what the audience has to say. They may agree with you, Christina. He's always going to be a childhood friend. Eddie, you got to get over being jealous. But they may see Eddie's side too, that it bothers him and sometimes you shouldn't be having text relationships with people of the opposite sex because one thing can lead to another, and it is questionable, and that's just the way it is. Whose side are you on? Eddie and Christina have been dating for 2 years, and Eddie has a big problem with the fact that Christina still texts her ex-boyfriend. Now, I'm hesitant to even call him her ex-boyfriend because they dated when she was 14 years old.
But they're family friends. Yeah, all that is well and good, but it's the time that it takes away from them being together, Eddie and Christina, that she always chooses to use to have a phone conversation or hang out with the other friend. And that's confusing for him.
Now, Eddie is clearly very upset. You can hear it in his voice. Is he overreacting and being insecure? Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
I am on Eddie's side. I have an ex-husband who, met someone when she was very young and he was young, and they corresponded for years. And eventually, they ended up having an affair, and it took away from the divorce, and it was from the intimacy that had grown. And I actually allowed it originally, like, because I did not see the forest through the trees. If someone were to say that to me, like my current partner, I would have a real dialogue with them, and most likely I would make a request to limit it.
That's the thing, is you want to be a grown-up. You want to be mature, Anna, but sometimes you could be playing a fool.
Because when you listen to Eddie, he sounds so aggressive that you immediately dislike him. I'm sorry, Eddie.
Right.
It's just the way you come off comes off very abrasive. But if you think of it realistically, if you're somebody that you loved was constantly texting somebody of the opposite sex, you know, of course you're going to have that doubt. You're going to have that self-doubt.
There's little things in her response, too, in Christina's response. Oh, he's dating somebody new, so you don't have to worry about it. Why is she so, you know, in tune with who he's dating, and that's why you don't have to worry at this moment?
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I am on her side. I don't necessarily agree with her hanging up or putting him on hold to talk to her friend, but we can have a friend of the opposite sex. But I'm also going to tell you this. I can hear the tone in his voice. He is overly jealous and probably abusive and controlling. So if she don't want to give up the friend, she needs to give him up.
There is something to be said about sometimes a relationship just goes toxic, and it's not good for either of you. And it's an equal reason for both of them to get out.
I hate to try to judge him based on how he sounds, because Raven, you sound like that a lot of times.
Sure.
And I know you because I've known you forever, and I know that you're not like that. You're like a big teddy bear. But
I will sweep your leg right now.
Uh-huh. But I know that just because you sound like that doesn't mean that's how you are. I think we're really judging him based on just his tone. Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
Hi.
Whose side are you on?
I'm on the guy's side. Because if she respects him, she should respect him enough to not do something that makes him feel uncomfortable.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Eddie, our audience agreed with you this morning. Christina, it's not that you're doing anything wrong. You're not. And people saw that. But if it bothers him so much and you value your relationship and you value your relationship with your boyfriend, Eddie, above everything else, then you need to consider this hurts his feelings and roll it back and stop texting the guy.
I still disagree. I think that this is a maturity issue.
I agree. But the audience understood what he was saying.
Okay.
Let me say, if you're staying with somebody and you like watching a movie and like your arms around her, you guys are chilling, you're vibing, and then all of a sudden her phone lights up and she takes her answer the phone and it's another dude. I don't care how long you do
that. This happened like twice. Calm down.
Mm. No, I get it, though.
But just think about the way that looks. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I get it. That and it feels disrespectful. I mean, there's how it looks, and there's how it makes you feel. And clearly, you've let it be known of how it makes you feel. And then when it continues to go on, even though knowing how it makes him feel, then it becomes a disrespectful issue.
And then it's a problem.
Thank you, bro.
And then it's a problem.
Thank you, bro. Thank you, bro.
I understand that.
Yeah. People have spoken. Thank you so much, guys. Wish you the best of luck. And if you have an issue, too, send an email. couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
Hi, this is Deirdre.
Deirdre, you're up. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Absolutely. Raven, can you leave the room, please?
Sure. Good luck, Deirdre.
All right, Deirdre, we have $900 on the line. Raven's walking out of here. He can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. Answer them as quickly as you can. I bring them back in. I ask them the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven, though. You ready?
Yes.
Okay, number 1. Hayden Christensen will reprise his role as Darth Vader for the Obi-Wan Star Wars spinoff series. What was Darth Vader's name before he turned to the dark side?
Anakin.
Skywalker.
Number two, The Office star Brian Baumgartner has made $1 million in 2020 from cameo bookings, making him the highest earning cameo celebrity ever. What was his character's name, first and last, on The Office?
Brian Baumgartner on The Office.
Time's up, Jidra. Number three, Dark Knight, Grease, Blues Brothers, and this animated movie about a green ogre was just added to the National Film Registry. What movie was that?
Shrek.
Number four, which character hates Christmas in part because his heart is three sizes too small?
The Grinch.
And number five, the live-action Little Mermaid movie has announced its cast, and it will feature singer Halle Bailey as Ariel. What was the name of the prince that Ariel falls in love with after she saved him from drowning?
Prince Eric. My daughter was in a production of The Little Mermaid last year.
All right, well, that might have just won you $900. Let's find out.
Yo.
Okay, Jitter did great. She got 4 out of 5.
It's pretty impressive.
All right, number one, Hayden Christensen will reprise his role as Darth Vader for the Obi-Wan Star Wars spinoff series.
I'm excited.
What was Darth Vader's name before he turned to the dark side?
You got to try harder than that. Come on, Anakin Skywalker.
Yes. Number two, The Office star Brian Baumgartner has made $1 million in 2020 from cameo bookings, making him the highest earning cameo celebrity ever.
Good for him.
What was his character's name, first and last, on The Office?
Well, you're bummed because I just saw this. Kevin Malone.
Yes. Number three.
I like pie.
Dark Knight, Grease, Blues Brothers, and this animated movie about a green ogre was just added to the National Film Registry. What movie was that?
It's got
to
be Shrek.
Yep. Number four, which character hates Christmas in part because his heart is three sizes too small?
The Grinch.
Yeah. All right, you guys are tied at 4.
Aw.
Number five, the live-action Little Mermaid movie has announced its cast, and it will feature singer Halle Bailey as Ariel. What was the name of the prince that Ariel falls in love with after she saved him from drowning?
Charles?
No. It's not Prince Charles.
Frank.
No, it's not Frank.
Bob.
It's Eric. It's Prince Eric.
Next guess.
I'm sorry, Jandra. You guys tied at 4. That does get you your own Anna and Raven t-shirt. Oh, man. You were so close if you had just gotten that second one.
So close. And we watch The Office all of the time, and my husband's name is Kevin.
Oh, no.
Terrible.
Right.
It's Deirdre, and I tied with Raven.
Yeah, but it's not a win. Hold on the line.
Yeah, and all that matters is who leaves with the money. Better luck next time.
That means we throw another $100 in the jackpot for tomorrow. You have your chance at $1,000, same time.